Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Have your Bibles with you. Go ahead and look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Wednesday nights we've been going through a study on the life of Joseph. And Joseph, we know, is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And God's preserved his life and what he would have us to understand about his life in the Bible. And as we study this, it's more than just a history lesson. It is biblical principles that God would have us to learn and applying to our own lives even today. And I trust that it's been a help to you as we've been going through, and I've been blessed myself and just preparing to teach and to preach on the life of Joseph. The theme to his life is something that all of us need to understand and hold on to, and that is that God is able to work all things out for good. Romans 8:28. Again, this biblical principle we found established in the life of Joseph, and then we find it's in the New Testament as we have that biblical principle. As long as we love the Lord and we're called according to His purpose, if you love the Lord, you'd keep my commandments, is what He says. Called according to His purpose, you're looking to do what God has you here to do. And so as long as we're doing that, then we find that all things work together for good. God makes sure of that. And no place is it better seen than in the life of Joseph. It didn't seem like that everything was working together for good, but God was working everything together for good. And as we get to the end of this part, especially here tonight, we're going to see that God had some things in view that Joseph didn't understand, could not have in his wildest imagination realize just what God had in store for him. And can I tell you that's true with all of us? And it might not be here on this earth. It could be some things on this earth, but heaven holds more for us than what we can ever imagine. It's going to far exceed our greatest expectations. And we just have to understand that and be faithful and stay true to God. But we find it the life of Joseph, and that was a key. Last week, Pharaoh responds to Joseph based upon Joseph's access to God. And now, he didn't want that to be part of it. He thought Joseph had a special talent or ability as many of the others on his cabinet, his wise men or his magicians. And he was going to add Joseph, but Joseph said, I don't have that. It's not me. It's the God I serve. Amen. I can't do anything, but God can do everything. And He works in me and through me. And He can give me the interpretation of your dream. Now, that's a blessing to understand that. Because Joseph was just looking to exalt God. We studied this last week. Joseph exalted God. And as Joseph exalted God, God in return would exalt Joseph. That's a biblical principle that still works. As God's child, what we need to do more than anything is not try to exalt ourselves. Never. God never blesses that. We exalt God. We glorify the Lord. And as we glorify the Lord, exalting Him, then God will work in our lives to exalt us to the place or the position that He has for us. What a blessing it is. That's just a biblical principle. And we're seeing this in Joseph's life. As he exalted God, then God would exalt Joseph. And verse 38 there of chapter 41, it says, And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? There's no one else that he knew of. No one else on his cabinet. None of his wise men, none of his magicians had what Joseph had. Amen. None of the people in his circle of influence had what Joseph had. And God brought Joseph into Pharaoh's life, and Joseph acknowledges that. Because he's seen the evidence of God working through the life of Joseph. That's the very same way it is for us today. God, people see, if you truly are representing the Lord, people will acknowledge something in you that's different than what's in the world. Amen. Well, let's move on to the next event in the life of Joseph. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verse 45 down to verse 52. Verse 45 down to verse 52. And tonight, future blessings for Joseph. It's all coming to fruition. Is that a, let me see if I'm saying that right or not. fruition. I can't, my tongue is tied right now. But it's all coming to where God wants it to be in Joseph's life. Amen. We'll say it that word. But the future blessings are able to be seen. They're revealed. Let's look here. Verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. And the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it is to have this opportunity to be in church and to have your holy word open before us, to study it, and as we study it, allow you to speak to us. And Lord, I know that you have something for everyone that's here tonight. And I pray, God, that we would be open to whatever that might be and looking forward to receiving it. I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth the message you have for this congregation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What God had in view, Joseph is now starting to experience. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brother, God had this in view. When Joseph was lied about from Potiphar's wife, God had this in view. And when he was forsaken and left in the prison, God knew this time was coming. Can I tell you that that's the same for all of God's servants? Romans 8:28, as we focused on that, it's for everyone that loves God and is called according to His purpose. If we meet that qualification, that criteria of loving God and being called according to His purpose, that means we're looking to God, we want to serve the Lord, we are making right decisions, we are looking to be obedient. This is the very same thing holds true with all of us. Jesus was telling His disciples that before we go anywhere, I want you to get this understanding of what we're looking at here tonight. Luke in chapter 18. As He was preparing His apostles, which would have a lot of trials and persecutions ahead of them, but future blessings for sure. In Luke in chapter 18, some things had taken place, and Peter had sounded off and said they had left and sacrificed everything to follow Him. Luke in chapter 18, verse 28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake. Now, you've been rejected by all of them just simply because of your love for God and your desire to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. That's what he's talking about. Not that God would take them away, or not that he would have them to forsake them, but if you've lost anything, if you've suffered persecution on any level for the witness of Christ, that's what he's saying, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God said, you're going to have something in this present life that is going to outweigh whatever you've lost. And when you look beyond this life, something you can't purchase, something this world can't give you, life everlasting. Now, that's exactly what Jesus taught. We find that Paul, somewhat with that very same biblical principle, when he writes to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all this is the same biblical principle that we find in Joseph's life and what has taken place and what we're studying here tonight. The 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 17. And verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. That means I'm not going to faint. I'm just going to continue to do right. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, beyond our comprehension, beyond what we can truly even imagine or expect. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that's the very same principle that he wanted his disciples to be aware of. And Paul, as he writes to the Corinth, the believers at Corinth, he wants them to understand. Can I tell you, it's written down and it's there for us to understand. That's how God wants us to view things, because that's the way they are to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now go back with me to Genesis in chapter 41. God had these things in view for Joseph his whole life. When he lost his mother when he's only 8 years old, God had a purpose for that. His family, his brothers sold him into slavery. All the things that happened up to Joseph, what God allowed, he had this in view the whole time. Verse 45 and verse 46, we find here that Joseph begins to experience some of the blessings that God had waiting for him. Just some of the blessings that God had waiting for him. Now, first of all, understand that Joseph was always blessed as he continued to remember the Lord. Now, he didn't feel blessed when his brothers sold him into slavery. Probably for a little bit there when he was in that ditch, and he was feeling sorry for himself, and he was crying, and possibly a little bit, you know, just feeling rejected by his own kin, his own flesh and blood. How could my brothers do this to me? And how could God allow them to do this to me? And he might have had a little bit of self-pity there inside of that pit. And especially when then he was sold the next day to the group going through that was going to sell him to someone in Egypt. But he did not live and drown in his self-pity. Once he realized this is the way it is, my brothers did this to me. The Ishmaelites that bought me from them, they're not taking me to dad. They're going to take me and sell me as a slave. And there's nothing I can do or could have done to prevent this at this time. And so he accepted it as when he can't control it, it's something that God has brought in, that God allowed. When we can't control it, God is in control. And he fell back to the one thing that he knew. God loved him, and God had a purpose for his life. And he remembered the Lord, and the Lord was with Joseph. Every time something like this happened, Joseph, first of all, would remember the Lord, and the Lord, then the Bible says, God's promises were there, and God was with Joseph. Yeah. First, know that. So, just because of knowing the love of God, and whatever we're facing, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us, we are blessed. If you're lost, you don't have that. If you're living in sin, you don't have that peace. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God working inside of you to give you a peace that passeth all understanding. You don't have that inner joy that comes by walking with the Lord, even in the midst of a storm. So, he was blessed. Even though outwardly, no one would look to Joseph and say, boy, he's blessed. They wouldn't have done that. Being sold into slavery, being lied upon, being left in prison. No one would have looked at Joseph and said, at that point in his life, I'd like to be like Joseph. I'd like to be where he's at. I'd love to have his blessings in life. No, that was not taking place. Even though Joseph did not look outwardly to be blessed, Joseph knew inside of him that he had the blessings of the presence of God. God was with him, even when it didn't seem like it. In verse 46, the Bible says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now think about that. 30 years old. He was sold into slavery by his brothers when he was 17. 13 years of cruel circumstances. 13 years. When you read the life of Joseph as we did, you read it in just a matter of minutes and you think, well, just pass that fast. No, 13 years. Some possibly up here just barely have lived 13 years. You think about how you looked and felt 13 years ago, and you say, that was a long, long time ago. 13 years is a long time. And for 13 years, Joseph faced some of the cruelest circumstances that anyone's ever faced. Been totally hated and rejected of his own family and sold into slavery. Now, a lot of people might talk about it, but very few would actually do it. 13 years. But Joseph had the promise, as we do, that we find in Hebrews chapter 13. And let me just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, it says this. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we, because we know this, may boldly say, no matter what's going on in our lives, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, that's something that Joseph knew even before Paul wrote it, because it was the blessings, the promise of God. And Joseph remembered the Lord and knew that God was with him. He was blessed, but it didn't look like it for 13 years. And then we find here now in our text tonight that we read in verse 45, the first blessing, once He was able to interpret the dream, and Pharaoh was able to see God working in Joseph. And because Joseph exalted God, then Pharaoh would exalt Joseph, and God would work through Pharaoh to exalt Joseph. And the first thing he does to Joseph, he was given an Egyptian name. Now you say that now many of those, when they were bought or they were brought into slavery, they would be given a name like the Hebrew children. But that was to try to help brainwash them. That was not the case here. Pharaoh was able to give Joseph a Egyptian name to endear him to the people that he would be helping, that would serve him. The name of that, the definition of what we find there and the name that was given him, Zephnapaneah, many have given that several different interpretations, but most all believe that it was in response to what he had done for Pharaoh. And many would say that it would mean the revealer of secret things, or one who speaks with God. So that when the people would know that this was the name that Pharaoh gave him, and that is to identify Joseph as someone who walks with God. Someone who's able to reveal secret things. He's able to tell us things that no one else can tell us, and that has to come from God. And so this is someone that actually walks with and represents an almighty God. Can I tell you, that was to help Joseph to be esteemed by those that he would serve in Egypt. Amen. I believe that's what the word Christian means. It's something that we should not be ashamed of. It's something that we ought to realize that I have been given the title of Christian because of my Savior. And it is something that would represent Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. And so we find here that Joseph was given this name by Pharaoh to represent the fact that he could reveal secret things, that he had a special anointing by God. He had this name that they all looked to him to and reverenced it. Joseph was also, this is part of the blessing now, he's not given the title of prisoner. Amen? Or slave. No, he's given the title of one who walks with God, or a revealer of secrets. He's also given a wife. I remember as a teenager thinking about the idea of the second coming of Christ. And I don't know, I've told you before, and some of my thoughts was I wanted to view and wanted to think about what my wife was going to look like. I remember as a teenager thinking, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be excited about your coming back, but can you wait until I have a wife? Can you wait until I've experienced having a wife? Teenagers have some weird thoughts, I'm telling you. But that was something that you looked forward to. Looked forward to having a husband, if you're a girl. Looked forward to your marriage, your wedding day. I guarantee you talk to Katie and Tyler or Alicia, and those are getting ready to get married, they're thinking, don't come now. Wait at least another 6 months or a year. Joseph, 30 years old, been a prisoner, a slave. And now he's given a wife. Now look at her name. Look at where she came from. And her wife's name was Aseneth, which is not that, but the daughter of Potipharah. I don't think that's just a coincidence. See, a man, Joseph, he had a temptation that Satan brought into his life. To be able to have a relationship with Potiphar's wife. And if he would have had that physical relationship with Potiphar's wife, who has set her eyes upon him, he could have remained, at least for a period of time, Potiphar's right-hand man. Do you think Joseph had that thought? There was not that kind of temptation that came over him? I guarantee you he would have a much better relationship than what Satan would have ever been able to attempt to give him through yielding to the sin of having a relationship with a married woman. Yeah. Potiphar. When he heard of that, your dad's name's who? Potiphar. I believe this would have brought that back to Joseph's mind. I know the Potiphar. And I know what happened in my life. But I made the decision that God wanted me to make. And now, not only am I the right hand of an important individual, I'm the right hand man of the king, the most powerful man on the planet, over the entire nation of Egypt. And it wouldn't have happened if he would have yielded to a temptation that Satan had for him with Potiphar's wife. He was reminded how important it is to make right decisions. I guarantee you, young people and everyone else here, Satan is going to try to bring temptations into your life to get you to choose something that is temporal and for the here and now that will eliminate your opportunities that God has for you later on in life. And we have to just make sure that we make right decisions all along life's path. Lord, keep me from making that decision that could hinder me from experiencing Your will for my life. He made right decisions. Because he continued to make right decisions, now he is able to experience what God could see in his future as long as he continued to make right decisions. All things were going to work out together for good. And now because he's made right decisions, he's given a wife. Possibly, maybe nothing to it, but I think that's more than just a coincidence there. Making right decisions eventually pay off. Just keep making them. Well, I've been making right decisions and it just doesn't seem like things are working the way that they should or the way that I thought they would. Can I tell you, when you first get saved, Satan is going to come at you to try to keep you from making another right decision. It was a right decision that you made to get saved. It was a right decision you made to get baptized. It was a right decision you made, the decision that God would want you to make, to join the church and to serve in the church and to start learning the Bible and start becoming more of a Christ-like individual and be given the name Christian. Satan doesn't like that. Can I tell you, there's going to be that decision, that temptation to stop making right decisions. But no matter what it looks like, if you sold into slavery by your family, if you're lied about by another Christian, another so-called Christian in the church, if this happens or if that happens, keep making right decisions. They'll pay off eventually. Joseph would have been able not only to marry, but Joseph would have been able to talk to her and, I believe, lead her to believe in his God before he would marry her. The Bible doesn't say much about that. The only thing the Bible does say is that they would raise two godly sons. that would make up the 12 tribes of Israel. They would raise two sons that would be raised to serve the Lord. And God would have a special plan, not only for Joseph, but He had a special plan for Joseph's seed. And Ephraim. And Manasseh. More future blessings that God knew about. Future blessings that God knew about. All Joseph knew that as long as he made right decisions, they'd come. As long as he made right decisions, they would come. Genesis chapter 41, look back there with me. So now he's given a name that would cause the people to look to him with reverence and respect. He's given a wife, experiencing the blessings of a companion, a helpmate. Praise the Lord for that. Then Joseph was given the wisdom to know how to prepare for the future. Now he realizes he's been given this position and he is ready to start work. He realizes because of the wisdom that God gave to him in interpreting the dream for the next 7 years, there would be plenty. The crops would grow like they'd never grown before. The nation of Egypt would have more than what they knew what to do with. And Joseph got to work early. And the Bible reveals to us there in the seven plenteous years. The first thing he did in verse 46 is he left in the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. He started to spy it out. He wanted to devise a plan. And then for that 7 years, he started to do what God gave him wisdom to do. He knew what was coming, and so he worked hard to be ready for the seven lean years. Verse 48, the Bible says, he laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which round about every city, and he laid he up in the same. You know, some have no concept of this. And they're always going to have troubles. Some spend what they have when they have it. Just whatever the day brings, that's what I'm going to make the most out of it. Eat, drink, and be merry. With no concept of looking to God for the wisdom of what would you have me to do with what you have given me today. I believe God would have us to do everything according to what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, look there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is another biblical principle that we learn from Joseph. Now he's got some of the blessings that God has given to him. And now he's got to start performing, if you will, serving God in the land of Egypt as God wanted him to serve the Lord in the land of Egypt. He'd already given him wisdom what was going to take place. And so now he is looking to make a plan and then follow the plan of action. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, a verse you know very well, but might not be following through with it. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. All things. Everything that we do as born-again believers, knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives, and He controls the circumstances and things that we cannot control, God is in control of. And God would have us to represent Him. And God has future blessings, but we have to continue to make right decisions. And so whatever we have to work with, we need to make sure that we are working that, doing everything decently, according to what God, how God would have us to do it, and in order. That is a disciplined lifestyle. That is looking to God and doing everything, whatever it is that I have to do, whatever it is that God would have me to do, I'm going to do it according to God's plan. And I'm going to live a disciplined lifestyle. I often tell people, you need to plan on living a long life, be ready to go at any time. But don't live in preparing to go today. You understand what I'm saying there? I mean, we've had a couple of times when they said the end of the earth is coming, the end of the world, and everybody has sold everything, and they put everything into this prophecy of this day, the world's going to end. I won't need money after that. I won't need a house after that. I don't need this and that. And those days have come and gone, and they realize we made a mistake. I do need a house. I do need to provide. Amen? We know the day is coming, amen? And it could be today, but we are to plan on living a long life. If we are going to live a long life, you know what? We have to plan for living a long life. We have to plan on being able to keep a roof over our heads, being able to pay the bills, being able to do this and being able to do that, and what happens when I get to the place of retirement age or whatever it might be. We have to plan on living a long life. If you're planning on that, you have to use wisdom and doing things decently in order. That's another biblical principle. Too often, too many live every day expecting God to work a supernatural miracle. Can I tell you that God's able to work supernaturally? He's able to go against the laws of nature that He has established. But God, 99.9% of the time, chooses to live by and let us live by what He's already established. And if we're not using wisdom to do things decently in order to live a disciplined life and start preparing to live, to make plans for the future, we can't expect God to bail us out every time, every day, every year, when we're foolish with how we're using the resources that God's given to us. So Joseph was given the wisdom to know how to prepare for the future. He's in a position now, he's starting to experience the blessings, and then he looks to God and says, God, I want to serve you. I want to accomplish all that you have for me to do. And so give me wisdom to know just how to prepare these next 7 years, because I know you've already given us insight into what's going to take place the next 7 years. And we have to be ready for it. And so he's starting to do that. Lastly, go back with me. That's what's going on in Joseph's life. That's what we're studying here tonight. Amen? Everybody with me? I love this, because in the next few verses, we find that Joseph's heart revealed in the naming of his two sons. What's going on in Joseph's life? Now, remember, 13 years of tragedy, 13 years of cruel circumstances. But God had him go through all that to get him to where he's at now. And now he's experiencing future blessings. There's no doubt that every one of us here tonight need to realize that God has future blessings in store for us. Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what your age, no matter what's going on, God has future blessings in store for you, and they are contingent upon you making right decisions. If you make right decisions, God will work all things out together for good. If you continue to make right decisions, even though you might not be able to see it right now, God has future blessings in store for you. It's seen in Joseph's heart, what's going on with Joseph, when during this time, and it happens during the 7 years, busiest years of his life possibly, and making sure that everything is stored and all this, getting ready for 7 years of famine. So he's got so much going on. It is very busy. He's trying to convince everybody the need to do this. Everybody's thinking he's a nut, you know. He's working hard, but in the midst of this, he has a companion as a wife. And God blesses him before the 7 years of famine with two sons. And his naming of his sons reveals so much. Look what it says. The Bible says in verse 51. In verse 50 it says, and Joseph were born two sons before the year of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Look right here. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Manasseh, the definition of that means to make to forget. When blessings come, bad memories fade. As long as we keep making right decisions, blessings are coming. Blessings are coming. And when they come, the bad memories start fading away. Never going to go away. It's part of your life, part of who you are, part of what's happened. That we start seeing how God, what God had in future blessings. But they only come if we continue to make right decisions. Right decisions guarantee God working it all out for good. Bad memories are fading. He made me forget all my toil, 13 years, and all my father's house. The heartache of having his own brothers sell him into slavery. And then 52, and we're done. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The word Ephraim means double fruit. We have a future of being fruitful. Accomplishing much for the Lord. We'll not turn there, but John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, the Bible talks about if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ simply means looking to Him and making right decisions. And if we are continuing to abide in Him and make right decisions, we are going to accomplish the will of God for our lives. Fruitful. Being fruitful. And whatever that means in this life, I don't know. But I know we're laying up fruit as rewards in heaven. No matter what this life brings, Jesus told him, He says, you're going to have blessings in this life. That might not be monetary blessings, it could be. Not everyone is going to be set up to be the ruler over Egypt. Amen? That's not going to happen, but knowing the will of God, having the presence of God in this life, and knowing as I continue to make right decisions, I will accomplish what God has for me to accomplish, and accomplishing those things is going to make a difference in heaven. Eternal things are far more important than the temporal things. Let's keep our eyes on what God knows and what God has prepared for us, and that is for everyone that makes right decisions, future blessings. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Future blessings. Don't be talked out of that. Don't be blinded to that. Understanding that is what the life of Joseph is telling us. Understanding it. 13 years, it was not easy for Joseph to stay focused on God. It was not easy for Joseph to continue to abide in the Lord. It was not easy for him to continue to make right decisions. But he made right decisions. Because he made right decisions, he's now experiencing the future blessings that God had in view the whole time he was going through the trials of his life. Biblical principles, remain the same. I'm not going to have a musical invitation, but there's an invitation time. If God's speaking to you, if you need to come for whatever reason, or if you just need to bow before the Lord right now in your pew, just do that. But if God's speaking to you, if He's revealing something to you, acknowledge it. Make right decisions every day. No matter what the circumstances, look to God and make the decision that God would have you to make. That is a right decision. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the example, the testimony that Joseph had, that You've written down for us to learn from. And I pray that we would learn from this. And God, understand the importance of day by day looking to You and making the decisions that You would have us to make. Bless now as we leave here tonight. I pray that You'd watch over each one, get us home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.